welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Good morning. Can everybody hear me? Isaiah, that sounds a bit better. Where must I stand? Okay. Yeah, this morning I just want to share something that God has placed upon my heart about 4 months ago. I've been saved now for just over 10 years, and I got saved in Shofar, Pretoria, so it's really amazing for me to be able to preach here this morning. Thanks, Philip. I see you ran out. That's fine. It's really a privilege for me this morning, and over the past 10 years, you know, you learn how to be a Christian, and you learn how to follow God. But something I always struggled with is my quiet time. Just some weeks it's going very well, and other weeks not so well. Just spending time with God every day. And about 4 months ago, that changed for me. Because I just asked God, God, why do I struggle? Why is the battle? My life's purpose is to follow you and to love you. Why do I struggle to spend time with you? Why? And you know, I must have self-discipline and But still, sometimes I just don't want to. And I ask God, God, please come and show me how. Obviously, after 10 years, I've been trying. I can't get it right. So here I am. Just come and show me what is on your heart. Make me love you again, like your word says. And that's what I want to share this morning. Just what is on God's heart and his love for us. So before we start, I'm just going to pray for us and close our eyes. Father, this morning, Father, we just come to you, Father, and say, God, you are our delight, God. You are our love, God. You're the reason we're alive, God. Father, and this morning we just come and set everything else aside, Father, and we just come and say, come and share your heart with us, Father, and from my side, Father, just come and use me, Father, to bring over what is on your heart, God, for your people. Amen. I'm going to start off with a very good place to start off in Genesis. You know, God created the entire world, and he created man and Adam and Eve. And immediately you see, he starts talking to them. He starts speaking to them, and then they sin, and then he comes walking in the garden. Which is amazing for me is, if we read in Genesis 3 verse 8, I'm just going to read it first. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from his presence, from the presence of the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. What is amazing for me is just, they heard God walking in the garden. I don't know how many of you knows how it sounds like when God walks. Anybody? I've never had that experience. But just imagine, they spoke with God face to face. They had a relationship with him. And God came and spoke to them. And then throughout the Old Testament, we see God speaking to us the whole time. You see, God gave the Ark of the Covenant for the people of Israel so that his presence can be among them, so that he can be with them. And it's just amazing for me. I have a daughter now, 4 years old, and I am a father. I want to provide for her. I'm going to protect her. If anybody tries anything, I'll rip them apart. Gently. I will provide for her. I want to teach her. I'll protect her. I'll do whatever I can for my daughter. And God just showed me this as well. You know, God so wants relationship. In the beginning, he created Adam and Eve, and he had relationship with them. He created them so that they need God, so that they need to have a relationship with God, to be fulfilled. That is how God created them. Does I stand forward or back, or the echo? moet ik hem opschrijven.
Oké, sorry about that.
Verder? Oké. So where were I? Yeah. And then God's absolute passion is to have a relationship with us. He wants to be a good father to us.
He wants to be a good father to us, like I feel about Mika. So he feels about every one of us. He wants to lead you. He wants to protect you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to spend time with you. You know, and oftentimes I thought about it. It's a cool example for me. Like an earthworm farm. That is basically a fish tank with compost in it and just some earthworms. And they just make little tracks there, and you can see them crawling around in there. But you can't really do anything with them. You know, they're there, and you see Saki there at the bottom is having a hot day today, and you can't do anything about it, because if you put your hand in there, you're probably going to kill 10 others to get to Saki. So you can't do anything. And oftentimes I felt like, wow, I'm serving God, but I feel God is a bit distant. And it's just so amazing for me if you allow God to come and show him your heart. If you read the Bible, you just see God loves us so much. He so wants to be our father. He so wants to lead us. He so wants to be with us the whole time and teach us and show us and nurture us. That is not distant. And to prove my point further, in the end, God says at the end of the Old Testament, okay, so many of my people are suffering. So many of them are getting lost because they're not in relationship with me. I gave them the law, but it's just so many people that doesn't make it, and I don't want to lose my children. I don't want them to suffer and to suffer for eternity. So obviously God made a plan. He gave Jesus Christ to come and die for our sins on the cross. And I want to read the scripture for us. Romans 5 verse 10. And just a question, why did Jesus come? And the answer, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. And that is again, God gave Jesus so that we can be reconciled to God. Like Adam and Eve had a relationship with him. We're in a relationship with him. So God gave his son so that we can come back to him. So that we can experience that relationship again. And what is amazing is Jesus came, he died for our sins. And now we can have a relationship with God. But then Jesus says, I must go away so that I can send a helper. So if Jesus says we need help to have a relationship with God, we probably need help to have a relationship with God. Amen? Okay. There's some smiles. Everybody looks very serious this morning. Okay. And then God gave his Holy Spirit for us to, so that we can follow him, so that we can have a relationship with him, so that we can know him, so that he can lead us, so that we can hear his voice. And with the Holy Spirit came a lot of gifts. And this is also a very cool example. All my examples are very cool because I thought of them. So that's cool. It's like getting, my parents are going to Zambia, and the most amazing thing will be to get a Land Rover, and it has everything. You know, obviously 4x4 and aircon and surround sound and DVD players, extra fuel thing. My mom don't care about that surround sound and stuff, but yeah. But just imagine you have everything. And it's a V12 engine, and it's still fuel efficient. Just imagine. And somebody gave you that vehicle, and you parked in your garage, and every day you take it out. And you drive 500 meters to the cafe, and you buy bread and milk, and you drive it back, and you leave it there. And that's the same with the Holy Spirit. God gives us this amazing gift with so many privileges and awesome things, applications. attached. You know, you can upgrade to so many stuff. But sometimes we just park it in the garage. And just to share a bit of my testimony, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I said, okay, God, I want your Holy Spirit, but there's a few conditions. Nothing weird may happen. I'm not falling over. I do not want to talk in a strange voice or anything like that. But I want your Holy Spirit on that condition. And God gave me His Spirit. You know, God says, whoever asks, I will give the gift of the Holy Spirit. Simple as that. And later on, I had to repent and just ask God, God, okay, I don't want your Holy Spirit and to put him into my box, that this is the Holy Spirit and this is all He's allowed to do. I want you, God, to be God in my life. I want you to come with everything you have, and I don't understand most of it, but that's fine because you are a good God, and I trust you. You're my Father, and I want you to come and lead me according to your will, not according to my will. So I just want to encourage you guys to really allow God to be God in your life. And I also want us to look at when Jesus was on the earth. They asked him a question. They asked him, Jesus, so what is the most important thing? What is it? You know, stop everything. Let's leave everything else aside. You know, how to pray, how to be a good Christian, all of that. Let's just leave it aside. What is the most important thing that there is? And Jesus answered, the first commandment, Matthew 22, verse 37 to 38. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That is the great and the first commandment. And that sounds so easy. We must love God. Okay. But like I mentioned, about 4 months ago, I just came to the place again. It says, God, this is my desire. I pray this. I want this. I want to love you with everything I have. But I'm struggling. I mean, I'm struggling to have quiet time, just to spend time with you. So I asked God, just come and do it in my life. And I must say, since I've done that, it's just amazing in the mornings. I want to read His Word because it shows me some of His heart, some of who He is. And I want to spend time with Him. I want to know what is on His heart. And the more I ask what is on His heart, you know, the more my heart changes towards His heart. And it's amazing what is on God's heart as well is the second commandment. As I mentioned already, God wants relationship. God wants to be our Father. He wants to be involved in our lives every step of the way. And that is exactly what is on His heart as well. His love is for people, for His children. So if our hearts is the same as God's heart, we will love people and not love the way we understand it. We can only love people as God wants us to love them if we first love God. If it stems out of that, we can try and build a good relationship, a good marriage, listen to Oprah or Dr. Phil or a psychiatrist or whatever you want to, but you will never be able to love each other the way you intended to if you do not firstly love God and get His heart for the people around us. And then, just to read the second commandment, Matthew 22, 39 to 40, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And it's just amazing if you go through all the laws that was given. All of them fall into place if you firstly love God and you have His heart for your neighbor, for the people around you. Then you won't do all the other stuff. Then that is sorted. So it's a bit like a pyramid where at the top is God and relationship with God and loving God. And then the second level and the third and the fourth and whatever is down there is our lives, you know, how to live a Christian life, how to grow, how to. But if the top aren't there, if we do not love God with everything we have, then everything else is useless. All our works are like filthy rags before God, says the word. So my sermon is very short this morning. I'm almost done. I just want to encourage you guys to really come to a place and just say, God, everything that I'm thinking, everything I believe, everything that I've learned is nothing compared to you. You know better. Your will is better. So I surrender to you. Please come and lead me. Come and show me. And, you know, you can't have relationship or you can't have a fulfilled life, a content life, experience peace without God. God created us to have relationship. So the only way you can have a fulfilled life is to allow God to be God in your life, to be your Father. You know? So I just want to read for us Romans 10 verse 9. And this is the first step to loving God, to coming into a relationship with God. And it says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So the first step in all of this is to say, Jesus, I accept you as Lord. I acknowledge I can't live my life by myself. I accept you as my Savior, and I want to be in a relationship with God. As I said, it's a very short sermon. That's my sermon. This morning, I want to give an opportunity. If there are anybody here this morning that does not have a relationship with God, that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know, there's no way you can make it on your own. If there are anybody like that this morning, I would love to pray with you. We would all love to pray with you. As Christians, this is our heart's delight. If somebody comes into relationship with God. So can we all stand, please? I just want us to close our eyes, please. If you are here this morning and you want to come into a relationship with God, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord, I want you just to quickly show me by way of your hand. Just raise your hand quickly. I would love to pray with you this morning. Are there anybody here? No, nobody. Okay, you can open your eyes. I also want to pray just with people that if God is not your first love at the moment, if you are struggling just to be in a relationship with Him, if you are not excited to spend time with God, you know, I would love to pray with you this morning. Are there anybody like that this morning? Just raise your hand. We're not going to call you forward. We're just going to pray with you. Okay. Okay, just keep your hands raised quickly. If somebody next to you can just put your hand on their shoulder, please. And then let's all just pray together. Father God, we just come this morning, Father, and we say we love you, Father. We choose to love you, Father, and our heart's desire, Father, is to know you, Father, to allow you, Father, to be our Father, to be in relationship with you, Father. So, Father, just come and show me how to love you, Father. Come and establish this in my life, Father. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. And secondly, as Jesus said, we need a helper. So if you're here this morning and you never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned before, it's pretty simple. You ask and it will be given to you. Are there anybody like that this morning that would like to receive the Holy Spirit? Just raise your hand. Okay. Nobody. Then, as I mentioned before, just my testimony, where I boxed the Holy Spirit in, where I didn't allow God to be God, you know, where I just, okay, this is the Holy Spirit, and as long as it operates in my understanding, it's fine. If you are here this morning and you've done that, and you just want to say, Holy Spirit, just come and be everything that God has intended you to be in my life, we're just going to pray with you. Can you just raise your hand? Okay. Also, if you can just put your hand on the shoulder. Okay, let's pray. Father, this morning, Father, we just come and say, Father, we want all of you, Father. Father, we do not want to box you in into our ideas. And your Holy Spirit, Father, we accept it and everything that comes with it in its fullness, Father. Come and lead us. Come and show us, Father. Come and work powerfully through us, Father. Come and establish your kingdom in us, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And then lastly, I just felt God said, regarding baptism, you know, one of the first things God says, or the great commandment that He gives us, is to go and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. If you are here and you have not been baptized after you gave your life to Jesus, I just want to encourage you, just do it. You know, it's on God's heart. It's a commandment by God. And it's amazing to do His will. To do what is on His heart. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Andre. I'm going to ask the band just to minister and just lead us in one or two more songs. Hopefully we've got some of the sound gremlins sorted out. If you want to stay and just spend time just pressing into God a little bit, saying, God, this relationship thing, God, I want to hear your voice, hear your footsteps walking through the garden. Lord, I want to learn to know, God, what it sounds like when you're walking in the garden and I'm in the garden too. God, I want to have that closeness. Feel free, just hang around a little bit and just make that the cry of your heart. Just through the song is just a vehicle where you say, Lord, I really want to draw near to you, God. This relationship thing, God, I want to get to know you more. If you need to go, you're more than welcome to go as well. There's coffee and tea. Hang around, have some coffee and tea, especially if you're visiting. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. And as Andre said, if you have any prayer requests, anything that you want someone or to pray with you for, whatever it may be, then as the rest of us worship, or some people may leave, you're welcome to come forward and we'll have some people here to talk to you and pray with you. So please don't leave carrying the same burdens that you came in with. Please don't leave having the same stress and the same worries, the same concerns, not unless we've prayed about them and just brought them to the foot of the cross and said, Jesus, you know. Over whichever one may be. And maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you're just really tired and you aren't able to go away for a holiday. Whatever it may be, we'd love to pray with you. So God bless you. Have an incredible afternoon and morning and afternoon. And if you can join us at 6 o'clock this evening, you're welcome to do so too. God bless you. Thanks, Meryl.
Hi, guys. Most of you... Well, I've walked out already, but I just actually want to just testify of something that God has been doing in my family, and He was laying this on my heart, this service. Okay, like I have a younger sister, and I came to faith, I think, about 6 years ago. And me and her basically came to faith together, and we were both on fire for God and everything. And like in that same year, my sister, like, she went off the wrong road. She started dating this guy who was involved in the wrong stuff, and yeah, it was just terrible. Like, I could just literally see my sister falling away and losing faith and losing a walk with God, and it was so demotivating, and it really broke my heart. And I've been praying for my sister ever since then, just praying and praying and praying for her, me and my mother. And it came to a point, like, I think 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, where my sister got to the point, she was just living a very, like, sinful life and worldly life, and sometimes using drugs and just hanging out with, like, the craziest people ever. And at one stage, she fell pregnant with her now fiancé. And they had a baby together, and I just knew at that stage, I just knew, yes, like, this, you know, now they have a baby together, now it's, it changes the ball game completely. And a fiance, he's been working in, like, Africa a lot. So throughout this year, I've just been supporting my sister a lot, going and visiting her, and my heart has just been breaking, because I actually literally saw, like, how the family was really falling apart, because, like, I could see that, like, the way that the little baby, like, how she would be attached to, like, a male coming, because, like, a father wouldn't be there, and he was struggling with finances, and they were making deals with the wrong people, and it really, like, it became so bad, and my heart really broke to see my sister's life fall apart. And I just want to just glorify God today, because, man, he's a king, and he's awesome, and, like, he started, like, pulling my sister back in, and the fiance as well. And, like, the last 2 Sundays, the last two Sundays, they've been going to church, and I can really see their lives change. And I just want to say, people, if you've got family that you're praying for, like, keep praying for them. Like, God is so faithful. I can't tell you, like, the people that they were involved with, their lives were in danger. Like, they made deals with people dealing in drugs, and so many things went wrong. And just to, like, spend this weekend with them and, like, see how they change, and praying with my, like, my future brother-in-law, and seeing how God actually fetches them. Yes, people, don't lose hope. Like, keep praying. I've been praying for, like, 5 years. God is faithful, and God knows the timing, and when it happens, it's beautiful.
I also want to give a testimony. During the service, my sister sent me a message, and I only read it at the end, and she said that my dad, he gave his life to the Lord.
Me too. a couple of weeks ago, Sean was preaching. Was it Coach Jesus? No, Samaria. That thing. And he spoke when Jesus, like, just the context of the message was that Jews went around Samaria because they didn't want to associate themselves with Samaria. And I've also been praying for I believe that my father's saved, but he's in so much bondage, and he kind of, like, I think he just lives with his demons. Like, they're kind of part of him. Anyway, a month and a half ago, my grand passed away, and we went down for the funeral, and I was so hoping to spend some time with my father. And also, I can give you lots of context, like, of this. I've never had a good relationship with my father. He never told us that he loved us. It was just really rough growing up. And then in 2007, my parents got divorced. And in my naivety, I thought it was the best thing ever. But it's not. Divorce is not good. Especially for the children, because you don't know beforehand what the repercussions are. And but I was like this Christian, and I was the right one, and you know, my father must do things this way, and he's doing this wrong, and he's supposed to tell us he loves us. And then God showed me that just one night in 2008, he showed me that how I was totally dishonoring my father and missing the mark completely. And then he showed me that I must repent to my dad, and that I must God showed me how he saw my father, and that I must start praying for him the way God sees him and the way God created him, and speaking to him like that, and just honoring him as the leader of my household and blessing him. And I did. And my father and I have the most amazing relationship that I've never had in my life with him, and that he doesn't necessarily have with the others. But anyway, so then, like, I got married and having kids. And it's been amazing. And last week we went down to East London. And we were really hoping to spend some time with my dad. But two things happened. That weekend, my mom got baptized, which is amazing, because my mom is also, like, a powerful woman of God, but kind of putting off the baptism thing for no real reason. So, like, all honor to God for my mom's baptism. Hallelujah. And then with my dad, he's also going through some tough times, and I know that he'll be with us in heaven one day. And but I was very disappointed in the time that I got to spend with him. And yesterday morning I woke up early. For me, it's 7 o'clock is early. It's terrible. And I went to the Buddha Mark, and I was just talking to God, like, the whole time, and it was just me on my own. And then on the way back, like, I've been wanting to talk to my father so much about just, like, I don't like how our relationship is developing, and that he doesn't seem to be around or whatever. And I phoned him, and when Sean preached the sermon on Samaria, like, I pray that I'm going to confront the Samaria, because I always don't. I try not to confront my dad, like go around the situation or whatever. And I really felt that I needed to confront him, but in love, and I didn't when we were down there. And then I phoned him, and then I just, like, spoke to him and, like, told him, like, Dad, I love you so much, and I really just want a deeper relationship with you. And it wasn't about the actions. It's not about his girlfriend that he has, or the fact that he still drinks and he still does his other things. It was just, it wasn't about those things. It was the relationship that I wanted from him. And we spoke, and I remember I asked God, like, God, but you need to give me the words to confront him, because when you confront someone, it always seems like this hostile thing, and they're going to turn around and be upset with you. And what my dad told me was, like, my daughter, you're winning my heart. You're winning my heart just by what you're saying. And I'm like, praise the Lord, because I know I can't change him. I know only Jesus can. And I know that God is showing, that God is showing me how to win his heart for Jesus. And I just want to praise him for that.
Hello. I'm glad there's still some people more to listen. The same sermon that Metal just spoke about, when Sean preached about Samaria, I knew I had to go and sit with my grandmother's sister. And I've been running away from it for a long time. She, in the middle of this year, she became very sick with cancer. And I just went to her immediately after church. And I really just did what I thought was best, and I just went to sit with her, and it was blessed. It was, God had a lot of healing in my heart, because I could just speak with her and could just tell her. At one stage, I've always condemned her of what happened in her life and in the family, and I could just tell her that and ask her forgiveness, and she was open and she received it. And I'm so glad I did it, because her condition got a lot worse, and Friday night, she passed away. And I took the opportunity, and I'm glad that God settled in her heart and in my heart what was still there. So, yeah.
Dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.